Okay. We'll begin in verse 6. Micah chapter 6, verse 6. How shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach him with burnt offerings, with year old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with a myriad of streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. Or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly and to love mercy and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God? You know, it's amazing. Things become so complicated, and that's where we usually wind up getting confused, is trying to untangle some big complicated problem, when in reality is it's usually the simplest breakdown to how that then it just becomes so plain. We make things so complicated, and I think a lot of times people make them complicated just to avoid just doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we kind of create our own problems that way. But the simplicity, a lot of times when you look at Jesus and you compare Jesus with theology, and you just see the simple things that he said. You know, he didn't speak to college-educated people. The truth is, he spoke on about a fourth or fifth grade level to people. He just said things plain. And I think it was Mark Twain, that said, it's not the things that I read about in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me, but it's the things that I do understand. And that's, I think, a lot of times we skim over or we go past what we do understand and look for some great mystery, and then we spend our time trying to solve that instead of just taking what we do understand and applying that to our lives. And I think that's one of the keys to truly understanding the Bible, truly understanding God, truly getting a grasp on wisdom, is just doing what we're supposed to be doing right now. Taking those little steps that they seem so insignificant to most people, they just seem like they're nothing. You know, and most people just glaze over them and just go on. But it's whenever we just take what's right in front of us and in the most simple form. You know, people worry about the Bible and how to understand. And if we take what we do understand and apply it to something that we don't understand, eventually we'll get there. But whenever we try to understand something that's way up here and don't even grasp the little things below, that's whenever we just cause confusion. Here, the Bible talks about, how shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach him with burnt offerings and with year-old calves? In other words, will I just take the things, very valuable, very precious things, and just give them to him? Is that what it's going to take to please him? And a lot of times whenever we live our lives, we look at things, well, what kind of sacrifice can I make to please the Lord? And this is just trying to show us that those sacrifices is not what God's looking for. Shall I reach him with burnt offerings with your old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with a myriad of streams of oil?" You know, we try to please the Lord a lot of times by, we wouldn't offer a calf, or we wouldn't pour oil out, or we wouldn't make a big sacrifice like that. But you know, a lot of times we kind of have our own set of little calves we want to give Him, or we have all kinds of other offerings we want to give Him. And so our sacrifices might be something in our, well, maybe if I just go out and go just do a bunch extra, that's what'll please the Lord. Maybe if I just make sure I do this or I do that, and we just really put all our focus on making a sacrifice to the Lord. Maybe if whatever you want to put in there, it's the same thing. Or should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? You know, it's even making major sacrifices. And a lot of times that's the way we think. You know, we look back at these people in the Old Testament and we think, well, boy, they really missed it. And it's so simple. You know, but then in reality, we act the same way. That's why we can read and learn from them, that at the heart of things, it's not about a calf that's being offered. It's about our willingness or our desire to give God something else other than what He really wants. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Or what does the Lord seek from you but to do justly, love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God? You know, that is just pretty simple when you break it down, isn't it? What does the Lord seek from you but to do justly? Just to do what's right. To be just, fair, with whatever you're doing. To love mercy and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. You know what? To be just. You know, we think of that. You know, we think of a courtroom, you know, where the judge is deciding what's fair and what's not. You know, what he's really saying here, and what he's meaning is, by doing just, is wherever you're at, whatever you're supposed to be doing, whatever your position in life, how are you treating that? Well, maybe you're a young man and you're all ambitious and you want some big high goal and plan for your life, and you neglect what you're supposed to be doing right now. You neglect being a young man with someone over you. Are you just because you have big dreams? And you're neglecting being in the place God has put you in right now? I don't think you can be just doing that. You see, wherever we are, in whatever station in life we are, if we can't be just and do what's right, wherever we are, whatever position God has put us in, we can't call ourselves just. Because we're cheating God, we're cheating our father, we're cheating our mother, we're cheating our husband, we're cheating on our wife. Because we've got a place to be in this world, And if we're not in our place, we're taking advantage of someone else. You know, a young man, I guess it's, we can use it, an example of a couple, or a young man or a young woman looking for a perfect wife, or a young woman looking for a perfect husband. You know, if you just want to think about that for a minute, we all want the perfect spouse, don't we? And I've told it before, it's maybe been a while, but you young men, you want the perfect wife? You know how best to find the perfect wife? You be the perfect young man. You be the perfect husband material. You be what you're supposed to be right now. If you're a little boy, a young man, you want to be a good older young man, you be a good boy right now. You be that person that you expect others to be. You see, you want to have the perfect wife, you be the perfect husband. You want the perfect husband, you be the perfect wife. And by, I mean, by perfect is not without a flaw, not without a blemish, but to be what you expect in someone else. That's why, you young men, you need to guard your thoughts. You know, would you want your wife tainted, her thoughts tainted? Look at yourself through a little further than what you are right now. If you want to, you know, if you would want to be a good wife, and you want to be a good wife, you know how you learn how to be a good wife? You learn how to be a good daughter. Well, that's different. No. Most of the time, how people respect and treat their parents is about how much respect they're going to give their spouse. Because once we get, you know, that love we talk about, all falls away and fades away, and we really begin to know this person, we're going to despise them, usually, if we've despised our parents, because they're not perfect and they're not what we want. You be what you're supposed to be right now. You know, if you're a young man, and look at yourself. Put yourself in your father's place. How would you want your children to treat you? How would you want your children? How do you expect your children to treat you? If you would expect your children to treat you a certain way, and you treat your father a different way, you're unjust. It's unjust. It's not right. You see, you understand what I'm saying? Well, I want my children to do this, this, and this. But then you're not doing it yourself. You're cheating your father. And you're cheating your mother. Because you're not being what you would want your own children to be. See what justice really means? You know, if you want to have the perfect wife and perfect family, you need to be the child that you would want your children to be. You know, just because we can get away with stuff and can do things doesn't make it just. God has given us responsibilities, and everyone is to be where they're supposed to be. You know, if you've got a family, a young family, and God has given you a handful. And if you're out trying to fix everybody else's problems and not taking care of your own children, you're not being just to them. You know, and it's easy for us to get to do, to think, well, we got this handled. There's nothing falling apart. I can go out and do all kinds of things. You're not being just. If every one of us would just do what we're supposed to be doing ourselves and treating others, you know, if we put someone else in, if we look at someone else in that position and we see how we would want to be treated, then we need to be treating others the same way. You know, we've talked about it before, about everybody wants to be a missionary. I've never flown on an flight that there wasn't three missionary groups traveling somewhere to somewhere. What God needs in a missionary is a man or a young lady to be a good son or a good daughter, right where they're at. It starts right where you're at. If you can't be that just person, you're not going to change anything driving or flying 3,000 miles. A.W. Tozer used to say you can put a donkey on an airplane, send it 3,000 miles, and when it gets off the airplane, it's still a donkey. You're not going to be a representative of God 3,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away if you're not one inch away. You're just cheating everybody around you and just taking your Bible and handful of tracts going across the rest of the world and go learn how to cheat somebody else. That's unjust. So when he talks about justice, it's just pretty simple, isn't it? Where does it start? Right here. We've got things to do right at home. Start with us. That's why, you know, Jesus had said, starting, you know, whenever he told about the men taking the gospel out, he started them at home. And then they went to Samaria. And then on and on to the outermost parts of the world. We want to run out to the most outermost parts of the world instead of just being what we're supposed to be at home. Can't stress enough the importance of, you know, and we get bored. We just want to take something on. We want to help other people. We want to do all this and we want to do that. But our responsibility is to take care of our family and our children right at home. That's the importance, you know, of having the home the way it's supposed to be. What does the Lord seek from you but to do justly? Maybe that means a little more to us, to do justly. You know, if we get boys that come to the work and their job is to pick up trash and show up at the job, and there's trash everywhere, and they've got a drill in their hand and they're over there trying to put screws in or something. That's one thing that's probably gets me more than anything. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You want to do something somebody else is doing, because it makes you feel bigger. If you can't do the thing you're supposed to be doing, you have no business taking one step away from that. If you can't even handle the least thing. I think that's what the Bible talks about, you know, whenever he talks about to someone who much is given, much is required, and to someone whose little is given, as little. If we would just be in our place and do what we're supposed to, I'll guarantee you, you'll get noticed and you'll get promoted. But if you're just going to promote yourself and neglect what you're supposed to be doing, you're unjust. It's not the way it's supposed to be. What does God want from you? To be just. You know, there's a song that says, if just a cup of water I place into your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I demand. That is a beautiful thought. God does not require any more than where he's put you. And for you to be running past where he's put you and trying to do all this and do all that, and you're being unjust to God and to everybody around you where he's put you. If he's just giving you a cup of water, and it may not be the cup you want to drink, but if that's what he's given to you, learn how to be happy with it. Learn how to live where you're at. He'll promote you soon enough. And it'll probably be a lot quicker if you can just be completely content and be happy where you're at, because that's probably what he's trying to teach you in the first place. By leaving you behind, or just leaving you doing nothing, or whatever. He loves us to do justly and to love mercy. To love mercy. You know, I talked to a man this week that just frustrated with church. And, you know, we've heard the thought, you know, why can't we just all get along? And I'm not talking about just kumbaya, holding hands and just pretending. But if everyone does justly and loves mercy, just remembering ourselves, and I haven't always done justly, so why can't I be merciful to someone who isn't doing justly? That's where this all comes to. You know, if someone's not just doing just, it's our responsibility to make sure we go fix them. And that's where mercy comes in. It's not our job to go fix everybody. We are not responsible to fix anybody. Truth is, you can't fix people. You can guide people that want fixed. You can help people that want help. If we're taking care of what we're supposed to be doing in the first place, and not taking on a bunch of other stuff and neglecting what's most important. To love mercy is love being wrong once in a while so you can get past it. You know, we hate the thought of somebody doing us wrong. Somebody stepping over the line. Somebody not doing their job. What do? We start complaining. We start belly aching. We start murmuring. If they just do this. And we start looking around. That's not mercy. Mercy is if someone's not doing their job, just jump in and help them out. Well, they're taking advantage of me. Well, be an example to them. Show them how you would like things. You know, that treat others the way they would want them to treat you. That's what Jesus said. Love your neighbor as yourself. How do you want others to be treating you? You be that person. You be that one that's doing what they're supposed to be doing and helping along the way with everybody else. Love mercy. You know, I think that this is what God requires. And I just, it seems like when you throw religion into it, this is the first thing that goes out the window. Because we're trying to maintain something. All we have to maintain is for you and me to be what God wants us to be. And that's all we have to maintain. That's all the church is people who are just being what God wants them to be. What does the Lord seek from you but to do justly and to love mercy and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God? To be ready to walk with the Lord your God. That means, like we talked about last week, just to be ready to do whatever. Here I am, Lord. Send me. But while I'm waiting for Him to send me or for Him to do something with me, I'm going to walk with Him by being just and full of mercy in whatever I do. That I'm not going to be a burden to someone else. I'm going to take care of what I'm supposed to be. That I'm not going to be a disappointment to my Father. I'm going to treat Him like I would want my son to treat me, or my daughter to treat me. You see, if we just turn those things around, we can learn what it is to be just. We can learn what it is to be merciful. And we can learn to walk with God. Because He's not running out there somewhere way above us. He's right beside us. Walking. Waiting for someone just to get in His step. Just take care of the things that pertain to us. Faithful in the least thing He gives us. Faithful in our home. Faithful in our family. Faithful in our work. You see, that's where God's walking, right there. Pretty neat. A couple of the boys talked about hearing things that are going on in the world and getting all scared. You know, we spend our time worrying about things we have absolutely no control over. What good does it do for us to worry about things we have absolutely no control over? And what happens is we usually wind up neglecting the things that we do, the little bitty things that we do have control over. And there is injustice again. And it's not the big injustices we're worried about. It's the little ones that we've just done to somebody else because we've neglected. While we're worried about we're trying to figure out something or problem in the world that has nothing to do with us. And if it does have anything to do with us, there's nothing in the world we can do to change it in the first place. Whatever God has given us is all that He requires. And anything other than that is a sacrifice that we're trying to offer to impress Him. And that's not what He wants. He that is faithful in little, He'll give more. Learn how to be faithful right where we're at. Learn how to be what you're supposed to be right at home. Right with your friends. Right with you. You don't have to win the arguments. You just be faithful. And those that aren't, be merciful to you. And walk with God. Because that's where His footsteps are at. May the Lord have His blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right, well, Lord willing, we'll meet back again at 6 o'clock for fellowship meal and communion. Do you have anything, announcements or anything? All right, well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace.